Yes, you lucky people, just sit back for a moment, relax, and notice the delightfully clean, cool, and refreshing atmosphere of this scientifically air-conditioned theater. Great, isn't it? Remember, you can enjoy great motion picture entertainment all summer long in cool comfort at this theater.
Super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who makes Mad Doctor of Blood Island seem sane. 42nd Street Pete.
Funny you should mention that after the last three weekends. No, actually it was two. Wasteland with you and that whole insanity that was going on there. And then I'd like to say I had a week off, but I really can't say it was a week off because then I went up at Rock and Shock last weekend. And your Mad Doctor segue is pretty pertinent because you don't even think you knew this. I just did a whole retrospect for Scars. It's called 42nd Street Pete Returns to Blood Island. It's even on the cover. So, yeah, I pretty much covered them. You know, it's called the Blood Island Trilogy, but the fact of the matter is that Terrorism Man was the first one, which was perennially re-released as Blood Creature.
Right.
So that's how that all worked out.
And, wow.
Gee, you know something? We got to thank Ken and Pam for another great weekend up at Cinema Wasteland. And, it was pretty interesting. I mean, go ahead. You can tell the people how you fucked me up with Fred Williamson, how you did that whole thing. With that whole, you know, you got a big kick out of what he did.
I'm sitting there talking to Fred for quite a while, you know, and made the connection there. The first thing when I got there, you were upstairs. And I said, I'm here or whatever. And Fred was there, and I couldn't help it. I had to beeline right to Fred and start talking to him, and then you came down, and I'm trying to make the connection for you, and before I had the chance, you reached out your hand, and he goes,
he says, be black.
Yeah, he goes, be black, man, be black for a minute. You had this dumbfounded look on your face. You're like, I have no idea what I'm doing here.
I just drove fucking 8 hours, okay? I got up there Thursday night. I drove 8 hours, all right? And there are some quaint little stops on off Route 80 in Pennsylvania. We had dinner at Gia's house of pulled pork and gasoline, which was interesting. Because I wanted a chicken salad, and I says, can I have a side of fries with the salad? And they go, oh, the fries are included. They were in the salad. So I'm thinking this is some Pennsylvania custom, and I'm not going to say shit. And it was a pretty good salad, so I didn't care. But, you know, driving 8 hours with Amareth, smoking weed all the way up there, getting up there Thursday night, unloading that massive amount of shit that I had, then hanging in the bar with, you know, the wild-eyed boys, wild-eyed guys, Rob and Don and Lee and Jamie Gillis and Joel Reed. And by the end of the night, me and Jamie were basically holding down furniture. So, yeah, I was a little fucking dumbfounded the next day. Yeah.
A little bit.
I got even because I came down Sunday and he was the only celebrity in the vendor's room at that point. He was the first one up and I said, wow, you're up early. And he goes, well, I'm the hammer. You know, I got that jock mentality. What's your excuse? And I looked him right in the eye and I said with a straight face, my city never sleeps. So he cracked up on that one. So get it. That, you got to admit, that was one fucked up show.
Dude, that show was crazy, and you know, on top of that, what a 42nd Street Pete Grindhouse episode it made last week.
Oh, yeah, that was insane. I mean, you guys only got the hour that we could put in because I drove Todd nuts with the editing because we tried to do this live, and I'm going to say this again, and I said it last week on that, you know, that tape, that, you know, we had 6 bars of wireless internet connection when we started the thing. We're ready to tape it. We're down to a half a bar. You know why? Because I don't fucking get it. You know, maybe it's me, but I just don't get it. You're in a hotel. You're on the second floor. Your buddy's on the third floor. Instead of going up and knocking on the door and hanging out with him, you're fucking Twittering or IMing or fucking texting. What the fuck, dude? You're in the same fucking hotel. I mean, come on. That's what blew my fucking mind. I mean, you know something? The violence is going to come out. It's going to come out. One day I'm going to lose it and stick one of these fucking Twitter devices or these whatever these handheld fucking things are up somebody's ass. And I've come out with a version for women. You know, I'm going to jump on the Make a Fast Buck thing, too. It's called clittering. Because you can't do this at work, so you can stick it in your vagina and train your clitoris to, like, text all this fucking good shit. So it's clittering. It's an idea whose time has obviously come and will probably make you come, too. But, you know, that's what I do. I think of good shit like that.
You know, the term twit is not a good term. And to be a twitter, you have to be a twit. And I'm exactly. going, what in the hell is going on here that these people, I'm not trying to be mean to anyone, okay? But listen,
oh, I am.
The thing is, it has made everyone feel so self-important. If people weren't already self-centered enough, now I got to hear that they just ate a biscuit, got on a train, went a half a mile, got off the train, picked their ass, rubbed one off. I got to hear this crap every 3 seconds. I'm like,
you know something? You don't usually talk like this, which means I'm a fucking bad influence.
Well, it's also, I don't talk this way, but I'm angry at Twitter because I'm like...
Oh, yeah, I'm disgusted with it. Now, the new thing is, you see that MySpace became like Facebook with these endless stupid-ass comment threads?
Yeah, yeah.
I put, you know, they said, what are you doing now? I go, I'm sitting on somebody's Facebook. And then I think it was Janet Jay. I think we met her at Wasteland, too. She's an up-and-coming young actress. I can't honestly, forgive me, I can't remember what the hell she was in, but her name's Janet Jay, and she looks pretty cute and hot and stuff like that. She actually wanted a picture taken with me, which proves that she has no taste either. But hey, what the hell? You know, you want a picture taken with me, that's no problem. I'll do that for anybody. But yeah, she was pretty cool. I'll tell you, a hell of a lot of cool people up there. Lynn Lowry, she was super cool. Our old friend Carolyn Monroe.
Oh, my God.
Still looks great.
Did I tell you the story about that? Dude, they took me to the airport, basically.
They did?
Yeah, because, okay, I had a shuttle. Well, my shuttle was gone. So I'm freaking out. And they had a shuttle reserved for them. And they're like, hey, you're going with us. And I ended up getting a ride to the airport from Carolyn Monroe, Serena Vincent, and Martine Beswick.
Cool.
Dude, very cool. You talk about a crazy car ride. Hello, Carolyn Monroe. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but she hasn't aged, dude. She looks amazing.
No, I know. It's like, God, it's like she's still a Bond girl. What the fuck?
I know.
I should look this good. Not that I don't look good, but, you know. I look better at this Wasteland than I did at last Wasteland. I'll tell you that. Because I was really fucking sick at last Wasteland. But, you know something? For that show, I will soldier through anytime.
Yeah, you were picking them up hot and heavy on Saturday night during the show, man. Because, you know, speaking of people that we met at Wasteland, my God, who didn't we have in your room? I mean, the door flew open every 3 minutes and someone was coming in. We had, at one point, I think we had like 16 people crammed in that little room.
Yeah, I don't know how many people in a bathroom fucking smoking my weed.
And then on top of that, before it was all over, you had Malice in Wonderland and her buddy there on your lap, and you're beating them with a plastic machete. I mean, I'm going.
Tell me that wasn't fucking sweet, you know?
We got pictures, too, to prove it.
That was Amaranth. Amaranth hooked that up. She just went out in the hall and said, you have to come in here.
Yeah, Amaranth, she was your pimp that night, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think then Don had that thing with the fake cock he had down his pants, and she hit it with a fucking hammer or something. That shit. Yeah, if you heard that thumping on the tape, I mean, last week, that's what it was. I mean, you can still download that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to hear it. That was a great show.
It's too much. People are calling me up. I don't fucking believe you guys did that. I go, yeah, we didn't even have any celebrities in the show. It was just, you know what it is? Wasteland has regular, you know, we're guests. Like, I'm now on staff. I'm a guest. Like, Amy Lynn Best and Mike Watt, they're always there. They're guests. The only one who was missing this time was Netter. Netter wasn't there. Joe Netter wasn't there. I'll get into that in a little while, but one of the things that did happen up there, and I didn't get a chance to even talk about this, was I watched this film that Lynn Lowry did called Basement Jack, and it's directed by a guy named Michael Shelton. And I'm like, I watched this thing and I'm like sitting there going, this guy, Basement Jack, makes Rob Zombie's version of Michael Myers look like a dripping, wet, stinky pussy. I mean, seriously, this guy is unrelenting. I have, you know, it's everything Halloween should have been. And obviously, Mike Shelton is a good fan of Halloween, big fan, because there's a lot of homages thrown in there and a lot of stuff. But this thing can stand on its own, because this guy, I don't have the info in front of me because it's not on a DVD yet. And the guy who plays Basement Jack is evil. I mean, it's no mask. He puts on a mask toward the end, though, but he is completely evil. And Lynn Lowry plays the mother from hell. In fact, she makes Piper Laurie look like a soccer mom.
Wow.
Compared to her. I mean, you didn't see this yet, right? You didn't go down and see that, did you?
No, I didn't have a chance. As a matter of fact, that night, I was following you around with the camera when it was playing.
Yeah, but I managed to see it.
Ken showed it to you.
Yeah, that shows how fucked up I was that whole weekend. I saw it at Ken's house. Yeah, I mean, this is everything a horror movie should be. It is brutal. It is unrelenting. The girl, I can't remember her name. Her first name's Michelle. She's an up-and-coming actress. She's in this. She's Laurie Strode with balls. I mean, I don't want to blow anybody's premise at this whole thing, but it's a serial killer thing, and she survives early on an attack, and this guy's put in prison for 10 years. Of course, they declare him insane like they do everybody else. You know, that's really not insane. But he gets out, and it's a question of who's hunting who, because she knows she has to kill him, you know, to save her own life, and he has unfinished business. So there's a lot of – actually, Tiffany Shepis is in it too.
Oh, cool.
She showed up. She was in it. And very cool film. I'm not sure whether it's available yet. Somebody told me they ordered it, though, so I'm thinking it's available. But, you know, go on a net, type in Basement Jack, and it's money well spent. I wouldn't steer anybody wrong. This is money well spent.
I think this comes out, like, next week on DVD.
Okay.
Yeah, sometime this month, I think.
I'm going to go out and buy the fucker. I mean, it's worth having. I mean, it's just it's everything Halloween should have been.
That's cool.
I mean, like I say, you know, it liberally borrows from, you know, a few other things. But then again, who doesn't liberally borrow anything these days? Quentin, you hear me out there, Quentin? But yeah, it really blew me away. And I see a lot of stuff that just completely sucks. But this one, I'm like, wow.
That weekend was a milestone in another way, because now, as you can hear, Pete sounds brilliant in Dolby Digital sound, because
in Dolby Digital, yeah, better than using a fucking cell phone now. Right?
It's true, because what happened was I was at the airport and those douchebags took my microphone out and didn't put it back in my bag, so I get all the way up to Wasteland and I don't have a microphone, and on top of that, I was afraid, hey, my $260 microphone was going to be gone. It turned out I got it back, but what a mess, you know, and here I am freaking out because I don't know what we're going to do. So Saturday morning early, we get up, and Amaranth and I make a run to the Best Buy and get this microphone for Pete. And
a chicken salad, too.
That's right. And we hooked him up with some chicken salad because Pete had to eat lunch at friggin' 9:15 in the morning.
That wasn't fucking 9:15. Don't know that. You know something? I don't know who's worse between you and her. You telling me to bring in furniture for the guest to sit on and her just acting like she's fucking married to me. No, it wasn't no 9:30 in the morning because I was already set up and I was making money. It was around noon. Just because they were fucking serving breakfast at Wendy's doesn't mean it was, you know.
It was 10 a.m.
I don't give a shit. I was hungry.
And you were already making money because are you kidding? You're probably wheeling and dealing before they even opened the dealer's room.
Yeah, well, that happens, too. I have to keep that, you know. I have to keep up that aspect of the business. Yeah, it was good. I love the fans out there. They were great. As a matter of fact, four of them kidnapped me Saturday night, and they go, we want to smoke a blunt with you. I go, okay, fine. I went up in somebody's 4x4. And you call. Oh, this is the best. You fucking called me on my cell phone. Pete, where are you? In a 4x4 smoking weed with some fans. I think I left my airline ticket at the front desk. Well, what's that got to do with me? You think you could pick it up? And I'm like, why the fuck can't you pick it up? You're on the first floor. Because you're doing PlayStation with Henry. I fucking couldn't believe that. Then the best part was, I said, why don't you call the front desk and make sure they got it so I don't waste my time? Okay, fine. So I figure you're going to take that. You call me back and I go, yeah, they got it. You can pick it up. I'm like, motherfucker. I'm like, I'm out here hanging out. And then it took me like an hour to get to the desk because everybody kept stopping me and bullshit.
I didn't care, however long it took.
I know, you're playing PlayStation with Henry. You didn't give a shit. You know, ruin my fucking evening worrying about this shit.
Ruin your evening, hell. It was 4:30 in the morning.
It wasn't 4:30 in the morning. It was 2:30 in the morning.
By the time you got to the room, it was 4:30 in the morning.
That's when you settled down. It was 4:30. The bar was closed, and I was just looking for other liquor. You know, it was that simple.
That was funny.
Yeah, I couldn't find Scotty. I couldn't find Joel. I don't know. This is the first time. If Scotty, if you're listening to me, Scotty the hearse driver, you crapped out Saturday night. Dude, what the fuck? And Joel admitted he crapped out. Joel, the artist, if he's listening, he does all those wonderful portraits. He admitted he crapped out fucking 9:30 Saturday night.
Well, god dang, dude, it's because you are a dynamo. You're like the bionic man at these things. No one can understand.
I can't understand it either. I come home and I shit blood after this. You know?
Well, Friday night was just like, wow. And then Saturday night, it was impossible to find you. We were hanging out. I'm like, okay, I'm going to run down. I'm gonna take a leak. I'll be right back. I come out. Where's Pete? I don't know. Pete's gone forever. I run down to the room. I'm looking around for Pete. I'm looking. Pete's gone. I'm like, I go to Pete's room. No answer. I'm like, Pete is gone. So I'm freaking out. And I'm finally like, Pete, where the hell are you at? It was like, holy cow. Yeah, that's people don't understand. Wherever the party is, you will find 42nd Street Pete.
Well, I told you, they kidnapped me. They put me in a 4x4 and had me telling hooker stories.
Well, that's because everyone loves a good hooker story, which is
I know.
It's a popular thing on this show.
I know. It's unbelievable. But yeah, that was pretty cool. Then we didn't leave till Sunday. Monday morning we left. We left around noon. We actually got back in 7 hours. Then we segue to this weekend, where we do it all over again, except I wasn't vending and I wasn't appearing. I was at a really professionally run, well-run show, probably the best, I'm going to call them mega shows, because when they are in a convention center as opposed to, like, you know, a hotel, they're mega shows. And I have done 3 or 4 different mega shows over the course of my convention going on, but I have never attended a show as well run and as professionally run and as courteously run as Rockin' Chuck. And like I say, I wasn't a vendor, I wasn't a guest. What happened was Sid Haig and I were talking, and we're trying to work something up, a project, and he said, why don't you come up and do it? We'll try to do it at Rockin' Chuck. And I says, well, you know, I can't get a table. And, you know, he goes, no, I want you to come up and I need somebody to help me out. And, you know, why don't you just come up? And I said, fine. So I got a hold of Amrith, because I always need, you know, supervision in certain areas. And we went up and it was amazing. I couldn't believe how well run it was. Kudos to Gina, Kevin, and the whole Rockin' Chuck staff. You guys were the best. I mean, security was great. They weren't a bunch of, you know, muscle bound meatheads looking around looking to start trouble. They were completely professional. They knew I was helping out Sid. They walked over, anything you need, brother, you know, anything you need, you want to get you some water, some food, whatever, you know, covered. And I'm like, no, I'm cool. No, we want to help you out. And it was like, they went out of their way. And like, I got to say one thing about working with Sid Haig. I've never seen a man more magnanimous with the fans and more generous with his time, because his line was never ending. He didn't charge for a person to have a picture taken with him. That's where I came in, because you get some people nervous, you know. You want to be in the shot with your friend? Yeah, come on. Yeah, get with Sid. So I'd be taking the pictures and stuff. If Sid saw somebody in line that was slightly nervous or acting apprehensive, Sid would get up, walk over, and hug that person. I mean, what else can I say? He's one of the coolest guys I ever met. It was a pleasure to work with him for 3 days, and I hope he can use me again in some capacity. But, you know, this show also has bands, too. They have, you know, whatever the deal was, I didn't go to the bands because, you know, we were trying to do stuff. And to be honest with you, working with Sid tires you out. I don't know how he does it, because he's popping up, popping down, you know. He's all over the place. And we were right next to Bill Moseley, so that was a pretty much of a comedy act right then and there, because the running gag for the whole weekend is they'd always walk up to Sid first and go, when are you going to make another Rejects film? And Sid would yell over, hey, Bill, when are we going to make another Rejects film? And Bill would go, we're not. He goes, why is that, Bill? So they'd yell in unison, because we're both fucking dead. That's why. So that happened about 40 times over the weekend. And then we had Malcolm McDowell was there. Tom Savini was there. Joe Netter was there with his new girlfriend. I think her name's Scarlett or Sarah or something. But excuse me if I got that wrong. But, you know, there's a very sick photo of Joe, me sitting on Joe's lap in the convention center. And Joe was, you know, typical Joe, completely out of his mind for the whole weekend. We're going to have him on the show pretty soon, too. You know, this show screams for Joe.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We'll put over his book. And who else was it? I was reunited with Tiffany Shepis, who I haven't seen in 5 years since I left Chiller Theater. And Jack Ketchum, who I hadn't seen since I left New York. Last time I saw him was at that Eroticon that sneaked under Giuliani's nose. And God, Jack is such a cool guy. I don't know if you ever read any of his stuff. And if you didn't, you're crazy. You have to read his stuff. He was better than Stephen King before Stephen King was even out. He could kick Stephen King's ass in writing, as far as I'm concerned. He was there before that. And I just read his new book cover. And it's a very, very different type of book. It deals with a deranged Vietnam vet. I mean, that thing has sort of been played out a little bit in the films. But this book blew me away. This book is so cool and just so gritty. And Jack just has his own style, and Jack will come out of nowhere and blindside you. And speaking of that, he wrote a book years ago called Off Season, which was his first book. And the book was so hardcore and so extreme that he actually had to do a rewrite on it to tone it down because nobody would publish it. And now I don't know whether it has been, you know, the unedited version has ever been put back out again. I forgot to ask. But he wrote a sequel to it called The Offspring. And that is actually out on DVD, which I have in my hand right now. It's Modern Cine by Anchor Bay Entertainment. And a lot of Jack's books have started to show up in movies, which is about fucking time, because Jack deserves it. And this book, I mean, this movie, rather, is so close to the book. I mean, it doesn't even deviate from the book. And, you know, here it is, an 80-minute film that, you know, stays true to its roots, and it is brutal, it is unrelenting, and actually made me cringe in certain spots.
Really?
That's how powerful this film is.
Yeah, I got it.
Offspring, that's the name of it, Offspring.
Yeah, it's part of the Ghost House deal. It's in a, you can get, you know, there's four of those movies that just came out, and that's one of them. I picked it up on Blu-ray.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely worth a look, dude. You're going to be cringing with this shit. It's like, it's fucking brutal.
Yeah, yeah, I watched it. Yeah, it's different. Yeah. That's for sure. A couple times I was laughing though because the kid's got these huge buckwheat hairdos.
Yeah, I know, but they're nasty little bastards too. I laugh when that little bitch got her head blown off. She sucked. I honestly wish somebody would do Off Season, because I don't know how you're going to do that, because that is just, like I said, that is just so fucking brutal. It just annihilates you. And it was great to see Jack. And I'm trying to think who else was hanging around there. Saw a lot of guys I hadn't seen in a while, vendor wise too. I think a lot of people are just, you know, going to the better shows for, you know, that, you know, were more professionally run, like I said, because, you know, Gina did an outstanding job on this. I had never been there before. I had heard about it. You know, she had said, oh, you know, why don't you stop up sometimes? And I asked her, I said, you know, if you can, you want to book me in for next show, I'd be more than happy to come up as a vendor, a guest, whatever, because the fans were cool. Like I said, I wasn't there as 42nd Street Pete. I was there as Sid's assistant, and a lot of people recognized me, and they actually wanted their picture taken with me and Sid and shit. That happened a couple times. And I go, what do you think, that I'm Bill Moseley? I'm right next to him. He goes, no, I don't know what's going on. So, yeah, it was different. It was like very cool experience. But I got one bitch about hotels, four-star hotels. You're paying X amount of dollars a night to stay there. Do you think you could fucking put soft toilet paper in the bathrooms?
Oh, no. Here we go.
Instead of these ass rippers? And I thought it was me because I got, you know, I got a few problems here and there I don't want to get into. But even Amrith goes, no, it was the fucking toilet paper. I'm like, son of a bitch, it's like sanding down your asshole. Really? You're paying $200 fucking dollars a night. I'm going to bring my own stuff from that. Well, Wasteland was the same way too. What, do they have one shitty toilet paper that all the major hotels buy? It's got fucking splinters in it. you know, I don't bitch about much, you know, but God,
that's not even true. You bitch about a lot.
Oh, you know, you and her. Why don't you two get? No, forget it. That's fucking so wrong on so many levels.
Suddenly you're drinking these little cups the first day I saw you on Friday. And I said to Amaranth, what the hell's wrong with Pete and his coffee, man? He usually has a huge cup. She's like, well, he's switching over to doing the small cups now. I said, why? That means he has to make twice as many trips to get coffee.
It wasn't that. You know what it is? She don't understand something. I wake up early, no matter what. Like 7 o'clock, I'm fucking awake. And I went downstairs and I got the fucking huge cup of coffee. So I'm sitting there drinking it, and she goes, why are you just sitting in the dark? I go, because I don't feel like going downstairs, and, you know, I'm drinking my coffee. She goes, well, you're unnerving me. Well, go the fuck back to sleep then. I don't give a shit. So that's why I wasn't bringing the big cups down there, because I already had caffeined myself out. You know, then I got to piss every 5 minutes, so.
She told me about that. She said, I looked up, and there's Pete, a silhouette of Pete sitting in the darkness. She goes, it freaked me straight out. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Just fucking sitting there enjoying my fucking cup of coffee, watching the sunrise. This is probably why I'm not married or anything with anybody. Maybe that disturbs people that I get up, you know?
Well, I think it's just the way you do it. You're lurking around in the dark.
Well, if I turn on the lights, I wake her to fuck up. I'm trying to be courteous. Nobody fucking understands that. I'm telling you, between you and her, nag, nag, nag. Oh, Pete, go get some furniture for the guests. Fuck them. Let them sit on the floor. It's my fucking show. God damn. But, hey, what the hell?
That is so...
Yeah. I didn't do it at Rock and Shock. You know, I went all the way downstairs, and their coffee sucked, and it was cold by the time I got up there because it was too far away. And of course, I get the only coffee pot in the hotel that doesn't work. Those little shit things they give you in a room that are so played out. They should replace them every 3 weeks because, you know, the people beat the shit out of them. So, yeah, I wasn't getting my good coffee there. But I'll tell you one thing, though, because I was, you know, I was with Sid. I got the VIP treatment and shit. They fed everybody.
That's cool. I mean,
they made sure you got food. They had like a green room set up behind us.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking like here's a fucking cheeseburger like certain conventions I went to. They brought in wraps, they brought in pizza. You know, they had breakfast down there. They had like, you know, bagels, donuts, and rolls and stuff, and coffee. And the only thing we didn't get was dinner. You know, and that was, you know, we got that at the hotel. But yeah, they took care of everything. You know, you need something to eat. Oh, what do you need? You know, they couldn't have been nicer to you. That's the way a convention should be run. No politics, no egos, no bullshit, you know?
Speaking about dinner at hotels, Pete couldn't wait. It was about an hour to go eat dinner. So he wanted to eat dinner right then and there. So he decides he's going to eat dinner at the hotel. And I'm like, dude, I can't afford it. Did you see the price? He's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get your dinner. Dude, we only have like an hour or so. And you're going, no, it's like 2 hours. And I go, well, who cares? We can go eat afterwards. I don't want to go anywhere afterwards. And so then you ordered the food, okay? So I got a patty melt. It was a $12 patty melt, man.
Oh, that fucker. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right. Lunch. That was lunchtime. That wasn't dinner.
Anyway, the damn thing comes. Your bill is like $73 for three people to eat dinner.
Yeah. What the fuck was up with that?
I don't know, but then.
I forgot about that. That was Friday night.
Yeah, and then you like ragged me out on Saturday about it. And I looked at you and I said, don't rag me out. I was the one trying to get you to go to Wendy's, man.
Yeah, well, okay, we went to, yeah, but you know something? We got the fried chicken Saturday night on Ken, so that was good.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, well, I ate the pizza and you guys ate the chicken, yeah.
Yeah. Well, fuck that restaurant, too, because didn't we eat near me, you, Griff, and Amrith, and it came to like $900 or something like that?
Yeah, that's crazy. What's wrong with that place? Someone told me that a bacon cheeseburger was $16.50.
So I'm going to bring my own toilet paper, too. Knock that off the bill.
No fries, man. We got.
Yeah, that was another thing. The fucking, you know, you're paying $15 for a fucking hamburger and you get potato chips with it? What kind? You know, I don't know.
And then on top of that, they were stale and they had like pickle juice. And it was, it was horrifying.
Yeah, fuck that. No, there's a different plan of attack next time. Well, shit, you know something? You better clear your calendar for fucking April. That's all I can say. Zombie thing up there.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I met Catriona McCall.
Oh,
she was great.
Dirty dog.
Well, they had an after party. The Dave and Kathy Wilbur, who were in on a convention with me, who moved to California, I hadn't seen them again in 5 years. They slipped me a card. We're having an after party just for the celebs and a couple people. Yeah, come down. So I came down. Catriona was in there with Al Cliver, and I can't for the life of me remember the other guy's name. And I was talking to her about the Beyond. I never got a chance to talk to Al till the last day, and I don't think Al can talk too well. I think he might have throat cancer or something. He talks very low. But, yeah, they were met Mike, the guy Mike who brings him in. He was real cool, was telling me how he hooked it up. And, you know, Al really didn't want to do stuff because a lot of guys disown this stuff. They think it's shit, you know, and we don't think it's shit because we love it. And it actually hooked up Al with this other guy who, again, I apologize, his name I can't remember. And now they're like best friends. They talk every day.
Wow.
So Mike told me, you know, Mike, I think it was Mike Baranis.
Yeah, Baranis, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He says, you know, it was just so great to be able to make that happen. So, yeah, that worked out really well.
Well, what surprises me is Mike is such a good guy. A lot of these guys that kind of become agents for the celebs for these conventions, we all know they turn out to be complete douche crew.
They're fucking pimps. That's all they are. They're awful. No better than fucking pimps.
But Mike's not like that. He actually really genuinely loves this stuff. So
he's a gentleman. I was talking to him for quite a while up there. It was cool. That's what I liked about the whole thing. You know, nobody had any air put on any airs up there. And I was talking to everybody. I was even talking to some people that I genuinely dislike. But I figure, you know something? You got to mend fences with some of this stuff, except for certain people, which I'll never mend fences with. But that's beside the point. Great show. Again, thank you, Kevin and Gina. Great show. Hope to be back next October. So what else do we got here? Oh, unfortunately, I guess it was last week or maybe a week ago, Captain Lou Albano, world famous wrestling manager, actually was a wrestler too, passed away at the age of 73. Lou was in bad health toward the end. He was in hospice care. I had learned about this probably a couple of weeks before he actually passed, that they had put him in hospice care. Lou was responsible for the Rock and Wrestling Connection. I remember that, Todd, with Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was the one, you know, instrumental in that. He was actually a bad guy manager. He managed like 18 different tag teams, like the Wild Samoans, the Lumberjacks, the Moondogs, the Valiant Brothers, Luscious Johnny and Handsome Jimmy. Trying to think of who else. It was a ton of people. What happened was he just got, you know, tired of being a bad guy, you know, and he turned good guy. He was in a couple movies. He was in Wise Guys with Danny DeVito and God, who's that comedian you never hear about anymore? Shit, I'm trying to think of his name.
I don't know.
He was in Dead Heat.
I don't know. Joe Piscopo.
Joe Piscopo, yeah. Yeah, Joe Piscopo. He was in that. He was Super Mario. He was one of the Super Mario brothers. He was doing a lot. I actually had met Lou then at Monster Mania and snuck him a couple beers. He was a pretty cool guy. He was with the Iron Sheik and Nikolai down there. So, Captain Lou, you know, you were great. You were wonderful for the business, and may you rest in peace, and condolences to friends and family on that note. It is sad when somebody like that goes, because that was the golden age for me, you know, with him. And they used to call it the three wise men, the three bad managers. Was Captain Lou, Freddie Blassie, and the Grand Wizard. I actually met Freddie Blassie, too, before he became sick.
Wow.
Yeah. Classy Freddie Blassie. Those were the guys, you know, back in the day. They were great people, great wrestlers, you know, really great performers. I wonder if when I go, anybody's going to put me the fuck over, you know.
Dude, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to find some way to make you immortal, because what would the world be like without 42P?
I don't know. The air would be a lot cleaner probably for me not cursing in it, but what the hell?
I tell you what, man. So many people trying to bite you the last show there. I thought maybe some of them might be immortal, so you never know.
Trying to bite me? Where was that?
Yeah, on your lap. Don't you remember that crazy?
Oh, yeah. That was, you know, that was interesting. My knee started to give. That one chick was pretty hefty there. Malice.
It's because you're beating the hell out of her.
That was before I started beating the hell out of her.
Maybe that's why you're beating the hell out of her.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. All this shit gets out, and I wonder why I can't get a date anywhere. You know, it's... Yeah. You're who? You know, you're talking on the internet to somebody, and like, oh, what do you do for a living? Well, Google my name, 42nd Street Pete. Click. The end of that shit. Yeah, you never hear from them again.
They'll listen to one episode of the show. They'll be like, okay.
Yeah, I know. That doesn't help matters any. But you know something? Once you really get to know me, you'll fucking hate me like everybody else, so it doesn't really matter.
Actually, the thing is, once you get to know Pete, you're totally surprised, because I'm going to say something here. I'm not going to ruin your rep or anything, but I'm going to say it. You know, when I first met Pete, I didn't know what to expect, because I was a fan. I was someone who just loved his writing, and he was, you know, doing a bunch of liner notes for a bunch of different DVDs I loved. And, you know, really over the top kind of guy, and I just liked his ideology and how he wrote things, and I liked his love for the Grindhouse movies, and I felt like just reading his work, I'd found someone that understood the movies I loved so much. And so I contacted Pete, and I'm like, I really want to get you on the show. I found the most cordial, down-to-earth, warm guy, and more than that, Pete would give the shirt off his back, the shoe off his foot, whatever he could give to a friend. And that's the thing, that no matter what, you know, you're over the top and you're crazy, yeah, and I love that about you. But the bottom line is, you got this golden heart, man, and it's really nice to find people like you out there, because you've been through so much hell, and you could be just a jaded jerk, but you're not. You still are open to people, and you're a good guy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I know it's from the heart now. Thank you for just ruining whatever reputation I had left.
Godfather of Harlem is doing it again. In Black Caesar, he ate up the town. Now, he's hungry for more. More action. More excitement. More everything. Fred Williamson is back, and there's gonna be hell up in Harlem. From Midtown Manhattan to the mob's private playground in the Caribbean, from Times Square to the Stratosphere, he's making this world a decent place to die.
No, no!
Fred Williamson, he may never get to heaven, but he's raising hell up in Harlem. Hell up in Harlem. From American International Pictures, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Look,
Ice cream, still the top favorite. Try some and thrill to the ice cream taste. Yep, it's real good.
Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Jackalope 105 FM.
Well, it's true, man. You really do. I mean, there's times when you've done things for people. I've watched it. And you would do anything for these people. You just went up to that thing for Sid. I mean, you know, you're doing things for friends, and friendship means something to you because you're from the old school when friendship was more than a tweet and a goddamn Facebook. It was a real thing, and I feel that compassion. I feel that belief system is very important, and I'm the same way, and that's why I think we clicked so well.
Yeah, I'm old school. You know, I can still make a handshake deal with certain people, and I know it's like signing a fucking contract. Everybody, oh, we got to sign this in triplicate. No, shake my fucking hand, listen to what I say, and the deal's done. That's all it is.
That's true.
I mean, Sid said something about signing something about on that. I said, I don't got to sign anything. Whatever you want to do, I don't give a fuck. You're not going to fuck me.
That's true.
You came up from the same fucking era.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. You're hanging out with a guy that you admired, you know, growing up watching and stuff like that. Sid's one of the best. I mean, there's a lot of cool people out there. And like my big bitch right about now with all this shit is that this man can carry a fucking movie, okay? He can carry it. And why nobody's giving him the shot to carry it? I know he's doing something in November called Straight to Hell. He's shooting on that. But, I mean, the man is an actor. He's a consummate actor. He's a consummate professional. You know, you don't need a pretty boy anymore. Come on. Those days are over. I mean, I don't know why they brought him back. You know, when you had the Eastwoods and the Bronsons and the Burt Reynolds and all those guys, that was the end of the pretty boy shit. So why the fuck you're bringing it back is beyond me. You need a guy like Sid. And Sid doesn't have to be a heavy. Sid can do anything. We've seen that. I mean, you and I both seen that. So that's where that's it.
Well, did I tell you about my Sid dream project I've got? I want to do this film where Sid is kind of like He's a private detective, but he's kind of like Dirty Harry, only he's a heavy, all right, but he's a good guy heavy. And the funny thing is, you're his sidekick because you start out, you're an informant for him in the underworld, and it ends up being that you're his sidekick, right? And the funny thing is, you guys are going on this, you think you're looking for this missing girl. Turns out to be like this whole crazy Dr. Butcher MD / women in prison / zombie kung fu flick.
You've written this out already?
Yeah, I've got an outline. I'm trying to work the script out because I really think if I could get a couple of bucks to do it, man, wow.
I'd do it.
Hell, it would be so much fun, dude. It would be, you know,
yeah.
You know, it'd be gonzo because you know me, I'm going to throw like every drop of gore and we'll add nudity, gore. We'd have the three B's, blood, breasts, and beasts,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. I'll play three things.
No, you'd be the sidekick, and the sidekick would just happen to be the beast. There you go.
Well, look what they did to me with that Bat Babe thing. I fucking, you know, I'm in drag in the beginning of it, which was a real treat. And then I'm getting beat up with a shovel. Then I'm getting hit with fucking garbage that I orchestrated. So, yeah, I can play three things.
I can't acknowledge that movie. I'm sorry.
It's one of my finer performances.
On the account of you guys should have never made a movie based on Batman.
I had nothing to do with that. They called me up. I mean, $20 in Chinese food is $20 in Chinese food. I'm doing another one. I'm doing our friend Ruby, I think she's in this one. Victor Bonacore emailed me with this script called Blood Wings. Linnea Quigley's going to be in it. It's shooting in the middle of November. And he's got me in it doing something. I think I get to kill somebody and I get a couple lines.
Let me ask you a question, man. Wasn't Pumpkinhead 2 called Blood Wings and it also had Linnea Quigley in it?
Yeah, you're right.
Time to
this is just
time.
Called Blood Wings, but it's not what you think. And I'm not gonna spill it either because I think this is the way he worked this. I don't think it's supposed to be let out.
Well, true.
But yeah. It's definitely not what you think. It's one of those deals. It's just not what you think. So, but I'll know more. I'm gonna try to get being at Linnea's coming up for this. I'm gonna try to get her on.
Oh yeah.
Because she was going through a bunch of shit down there too, with, you know, bad relationships and asshole management and stuff like that. So. Everybody thinks stardom is wonderful. You get in bad relationships and you have asshole management. That's what happens. Where I have no management, no relationships. So I guess I'm fucking on top of the heap right about now.
I was going to say you're ahead of the game, buddy.
Yeah, really. Maybe if I had management, I'd actually make some fucking money.
I doubt it. They'd just take it all and give you like 3%.
Yeah. Well, I got to push my buddy's place out in Iowa. That's Retertainment. It's in Iowa City, Iowa, on North Lynn Street. And Ross runs it. He carries all my stuff, all the stuff we love. He just bought a shitload of stuff at Wasteland, so he should be very well stocked with the exploitation and the porn.
Well, he even took all my stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, Ross is a great guy. So that's Rentertainment, North Lynn Street in Iowa City, Iowa. Check it out. It's a good place. And Mr. Jim's still rocking and rolling in Belleville, New Jersey on Washington Ave with, you know, the cult stuff, my stuff, and the porn. And you got, I was just down at Rare Flicks. They got a whole bunch of new stuff in, including my two new releases, Hitler's Harlot and the Sleazy Grindhouse Picture Show. And who else do we got down there? I think I'm going down to DVD Planet and drop off new product too this week. So those three stores will all be very well stocked with my shit.
Cool.
And that's what we like. Stores that carry my shit. And if you can't get my shit in stores, go to alternativecinema.com or afterhourscinema.com. It's all there. So that's the skinny on that. And there's a lot of new stuff coming out, too. Got Kinkorama. That's going to be coming out. The Kinkorama collection, you get the movie and 15 really fucked up loops. And I got another nudie coming out. Wild, I don't know. Mike Brazzo titled that one. Wild, Wet, and Wonderful Nudes or some shit like that. I don't know. And of course, the longly awaited, highly anticipated Extreme Sleaze 2. As soon as we can figure out a cover that won't get us kicked off every adult website like the last one did. So that's the problem with shit. You think you're doing something, you know, cool. And then we can't advertise that. Well, why the fuck not? Because it violates our guidelines. You're an adult website. You don't have any fucking guidelines. That's what amazes me. It really does. And now I have to go off on something that pissed me off. This is the shit list.
Cool.
I don't have one person to single out on this, however, but you might have heard the same news story that broke. It was last week that a 7-year-old boy was in the Cub Scouts and went to school and brought his little Cub Scout knife with him that had a knife and fork attached to it, and during lunch used that Cub Scout knife. Well, these moralistic motherfuckers that run this country or seem to be running the schools suspended him for 28 days. Worse, they were going to put him in reform school for 28 days. This is a 7-year-old boy who was in the Cub Scouts with a Cub Scout knife, doing what Cub Scouts do. And I think the outcry was so bad nationally that they fucking rescinded this and reinstated him. But you fucked this kid's life up by doing that. Don't you assholes realize this shit? I mean, I'm not a parent, thank God, because you could just imagine. We already know what I spawned inadvertently. Can you imagine if I was a real fucking parent? I'd be horrible. I admit that. And I respect anybody who's a parent. I mean, Todd, you got kids. A lot of my friends got kids. And even our friend Julie agreed with this. Guy put out a blog. Fuck these schools, screw these bastards, because the minute your kid acts up, oh, we have to give them Ritalin. Why are you drugging fucking children? Because you can't put up with them? You're a teacher. That's your fucking job. But oh no, give them Ritalin. So, okay, follow where I'm going with this. And Julie was smart. I think she pulled her kids out of school. And you know something? Take your kids home and self-teach them. Teach them right from wrong. Teach them how to respect their elders. Teach them fucking values. Don't teach them fucking nonsense. But anyway, I lost my train of thought. Always going back to the Ritalin. All right. You're giving kids Ritalin. You're drugging them because you can't handle them. So segue 17 years down the road when they're 17, 18 years old, you catch them smoking a joint and you fucking throw them in jail. What message did you send? You were giving them drugs to begin with that were worse than fucking pot. But yet when they turn of age and they start experimenting with drugs, as people are prone to do, you're going to throw them in jail. You started the fucking ball rolling. And that's a sad fucking commentary on society, and that is probably the most horrendous form of child abuse when you start giving kids drugs. I mean, it's bad enough they're getting beaten, raped, tossed to the side of the fucking road and shit. Giving them drugs makes that all seem fucking like a walk in the park because you're fucking with a developing mind. Don't you get it, you stupid bastards? I should be teaching fucking school. Maybe I make. So I make sense? Is any of this making sense?
It always makes sense, man. I mean, but, you know, this all goes back to that zero tolerance. You know, my son was put in school suspension. You know, he was put in the in-school detention room, and he was stuck there for 2 weeks because he was tossing a milk carton up in the air, and it was empty. He had finished his milk. He was waiting for his friend to finish his lunch. And, my, you know, he's bored, so he's throwing the milk carton and catching it. any objects being thrown are automatically considered projectiles. And his ass was in the slam, so to speak. And I was like, no. I went down there and had a phone call with my lawyer, and that was the end of it. But we had to get legal on them before they would back down on this zero tolerance.
They're complete fucking douchebags, and they think they're it. Let me explain something to you very simply. The reason AGI was bailed out because it holds the teacher's pension. That's why they were bailed out. Nothing more, nothing less. They hold the teacher's pension. So since when did these teachers become almighty? The ones that get tenure aren't worth the fuck because they don't do nothing. You know something? Earn your fucking money. Teach. Kids are not are there to learn, not to be abused. And that's basically what you're fucking doing in one shape or your form of another. I went through this bullshit when I was in school too, even way back then with the teacher's always right. No, the teacher ain't always right. And yeah, teachers are human and teachers cop attitudes towards certain kids. If that is the case, you shouldn't be teaching that certain kid. He should be transferred to another class. That's what you should do instead of fucking him up for life. But you're, again, you're dealing with developing young minds and you're feeding them drugs. Ritalin is a drug. Prozac is a drug. There's children as young as 3 years old on this shit. You know, if you didn't want them, you should have never fucking had them. But now, motherfucker, you had them, so fucking do the right thing and raise them right. And like I said, Julie's got the right idea, and a couple other people have emailed me since I posted that fucking blog and said, yeah, we took our kids out of school because for the same reason. Well, you know something? Maybe that's what it should go, back to home teaching. Because all you're teaching these kids to do is fuck with computers, and computers with kids, it's like fucking cocaine. They're addicted to the shit. And you're breeding a whole fucking generation of people who can't fucking communicate one-on-one anymore. Like the Twitter crap we just talked about, or the IM. I got this person I really care about and shit like that, but I really can't communicate with her because she IMs, and I'm like, I don't fucking IM, and I don't text because I'm not fucking paying a huge phone bill. You want to talk to me? Pick up the goddamn phone. It's that simple. But that's what we're teaching these kids, how not to communicate one-on-one. And it's pretty bad. And that's why you have, like Sid says, you know, these fucking guys that like live in their basement, 45 years old, never left home, and are on the internet 24/7. And mommy's wiping their ass. It's ridiculous. It really is. But this whole thing fucking infuriated me. I don't have kids. I've lived with women who have kids. I respect the whole deal of parenting because once you make that decision stick with you for life unless you fucking put them up for adoption or something like that. But when they're 14, who's going to adopt them, you know? But this is the whole thing. You got a bunch of parents that basically should never have been parents. And you got a bunch of teachers who basically it's a fucking sack job. They can't get fired. They're union. They fucked up more people than the Catholic Church. That's saying a lot. But it's always the kids that suffer. You know something? If that was my son with that Cub Scout knife, you would have to do a lot more than get a fucking lawyer. I think if I went down to that school and had to deal with that, you'd probably have to call a fucking ambulance. Because what's mine is mine. Even if it ain't my kid, I would fucking protect the kid. Whoever did that, they should be thrown the fuck out. They shouldn't be allowed to fucking teach, work, or anything near kids again. Make this big thing about isolating sex offenders. You should isolate people who abuse children. And some of these teachers, that's basically what they do. And the system abuses them. It's a whole system of abuse. I don't like it. And I'm going to say right now, kudos to anybody who pulls their kid out and self-teaches them. Teach them, like I said, teach them right from wrong. Teach them values. Teach them fucking something that they can make a living with.
Get them off the computer. Get them off the video games and make them play once in a while.
Shit, man. And you know, they're not allowing, you know, I see kids riding bicycles with amounts of wearing fucking Kevlar fucking suits. You're wearing body armor to go out and play. What kind of shit's that? Bumps and bruises, I hate to say it, are a part of growing up. How many times did I take a header off my bicycle or my skateboard? I wasn't wearing fucking body armor. Well, they say, well, look at you now. Hey, what happened to me now would have happened anyway. You unload 3 fucking van lengths worth of shit twice a day for 3 days straight every fuck for years I did. Yeah, you'd be hurting too. Yeah, my body's all banged up, but fuck it. Kids get hurt. It's part of growing up. They climb trees. They fall out of them. What if you see your kid climb a fucking tree? You're underneath it with a fucking safety net? Call the fire department? Fuck me. You know, what is this shit? They're not allowing kids to be kids, and that sucks. Yeah. That's what really sucks. And, you know, I can go into another fucking thing about taking the kids to the child psychiatrist and doing this and doing that. Let me tell you something about psychiatrists. They go to school, they get their degree, and they think they know what's best for you. And what they do when they don't know what's best for you is they prescribe you a bunch of psychosomatic drugs, which fucks you up, destroys your emotional capacity, and they don't give a shit because they got that $235 an hour, whatever they're fucking charging. These motherfuckers have yet to walk a mile in my shoes or any of their other patients' shoes. They pop right out of school, they do a little clinical work, and right away they're going to fucking solve your problems. People, you don't need these people. You don't need the goddamn drugs. You just got to chill the fuck out. Notice that all of a sudden they're trying to make pot legal all over the place. Notice that? You know why?
Make everyone mellow.
Yeah, pretty much, because you know something? You're fucking us anyway. You may as well let us be stoned and enjoy it. That's what it comes down to. Because, you know, the medical companies, the health insurance companies, they represent 1/6 of this nation's economy. And whatever fucking insurance scam, whatever bullshit this guy's doing, it's not going to work, because that's how they make their money. And they're not going to go out of business. And we're not going to have the options. And they're going to deny care. I just tried to do something the other day. Oh, yeah, we'll cover you. The policy is $200 cheaper than what you're paying now, but there's three things we won't cover. Cancer, heart disease, or leukemia. Well, that's what's going to fucking get me in the end zone anyway, so what the fuck? Why should I even bother paying? God damn. I mean, what the fuck? What is your option? And the other thing is that probably it's going to be my generation will first feel that. If they feel that, you know, we're not worth saving, adios, motherfucker. That's just great. You know, that's just wonderful. You ever pulled out of my fucking parents, I'd kill your ass. You'd be the one fucking winging through the pearly gates or being down there burning. That's all. Fuck that. That's ridiculous. We're the only country that makes money off human misery, legally. That's what it comes down to. So, yeah, you should make pot legal and you should have us all stoned, because that way we won't feel the pain when you're ass raping us, which is basically what you've been doing. I want people to have jobs so they can buy my shit. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly.
And the other thing was the balloon boy, that whole fucking scam. You fucked up your kids so you could be a reality TV show star? When are they putting the cuffs on your ass? That's another bunch of child abuse. You fucking made your kids lie so you could get on TV. What kind of a douchebag are you? Damn. And then the killer part is it brought a little light on Colorado. That Colorado has a 16% homeless population.
That whole thing was weird.
Yeah, but the whole fucking state's hurting. Everybody's getting foreclosed and everybody's out of work. And you got 16% of the population, according to what they fucking said on the news, homeless. How many people got to be homeless in this country for somebody to say, oh, well, maybe we have a problem? Yeah, you keep saying unemployment's at 10%. Fucking bullshit. You're not counting the people whose benefits ran the fuck out. It's more like 16 or 20. But you know something? I hate to say this, and this is another land of the dead scenario. Romero had it fucking pegged. Sooner or later, somebody's going to organize these homeless people. Then watch the fuck out. Take care of the people in this country first. Fuck the world. Fuck making friends with these people. They don't like us. They never will. Then I hear about all these clandestine meetings they're having about changing the currency and shit, a new world currency. That's wonderful, too. Then this whole bit with the fucking swine flu that seems to only target young children and pregnant women. Oh, does that sound like a genetically engineered virus to you? Certainly does to me. Yeah. Somebody's fucking around big time, and you know something? It's time for somebody to start telling a goddamn truth for a change. This guy ain't no better than Bush. Matter of fact, he's a fucking pussy. When Bush wanted to do something, he just railroaded it through. This guy, I want to make friends with everybody. You know something? Fuck you. Where's all these promises? This healthcare thing's a joke. It's all going to be a fucking rigmarole, and nobody's going to win. Basically, all it's going to do is, oh yeah, everybody will have healthcare as long as you want to pay for it, which is the same shit now. And then they're going to penalize people who don't want to pay for it? Fuck you. Well, that's my rant. We're going to end it on the rant. And next Saturday is Halloween. And I'm desperately trying right here. I've been contacted. We're going to have a very special guest for Halloween night. And all I'm going to say, an aspect to that, until I get a confirmation, which I'll have probably by the middle of next week, the devil made her do it. And that's that. This is 42nd Street Pete with Todd Sheets, and we're out of here. Stay sick.
Second Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Oh, wah-ah-ah-ah. Oh, wah-ah-ah-ah. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
2, 3, 4.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to
die.
Here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I wanna sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit.